AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Yeah, do this for me.
On the telephone?
Stupid! Stupid!
As a Southern American, you said something that got up underneath my skin.
We will embarrass our descendants just as our ancestors embarrass us. This is moral progress.
Go ahead,
do the yogurt
big
one, fool.
What? Have some money. AM 570 LA Sports.
What did
was
he
that,
say?
Magdaleno?
The one about now that the ocean is a yogurt or whatever.
Now that the ocean is made of yogurt, I've lost my spoon. You know what? You're really involved throughout the show.
He is.
Like, really involved.
Just cracks that mic whenever. And it's fine.
I mean, it's all right.
Actually, the fans demanded it.
They didn't demand it.
Diehard fans do not demand more.
Most
no.
Definitely do not.
No. Maybe some.
I'm telling you, we had a focus group.
But I think it's safe to say if there were anybody else behind that microphone, we would have a much bigger issue with it than we do. And that is for certain.
It's hard enough for us to wade through this, Magdaleno.
I don't crack easy under pressure.
Without your proud to be an American, I'm not playing your intro song.
That was not cool.
Insolence.
That was not cool. Everything else has been fine. But not playing Clandestino, most definitely not cool.
Just two more times.
Ryan Hollins is going to join us in the next...
Not two more times. Tomorrow.
The next segment. We do have the grand in your hand coming up. Be listening in just the next 10 or 15 minutes, and you could win. It's the last hour you can win it. When you text, you hear that keyword, you text it to 200-200. Keep your phone on, because if you win, you'll receive a call back notifying you that you won $1,000, and we're like a little Korean liquor store that has a lot of lottery winners. We're
the lucky spot.
We are the lucky. We're the one.
You should be listening. Quarter to 20 after the
you're
hour.
You're like four cherries all lined up or diagonally or however those slot machines work.
As long as you get it before the top of the hour, you're good.
If you're playing the Game of Thrones slot machine,
like it's the nine-way.
The four Theon severed putzos all line up. The four severed poots, $1,000.
$1,000.
It's time for the top story of the day.
Top story of the day.
Well, depending on whom you ask, and I believe the first person we would want to ask is friend of the show, a co-host in the past, and probably the Ram we like best. Maybe one of the only Rams that we really truly like.
Johnny Hecker?
It's a bad day. It was a dark day for the Rams as he tweeted out an office GIF with, or GIF. Is it GIF or GIF? I always get
it's
that
GIF
one wrong.
GIF? I think.
What is it, Magdaleno?
Whether it used to be...
Is it GIF or GIF?
It's GIF, but the guy who created it said it's GIF, but that's just whack. It's GIF.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look at
like
the
like, it used to be, like, it's just, it's flipped.
Yeah, millennials say GIF.
They say GIF because the creator said GIF, and they pay homage to him.
Yeah, so we say GIF.
It's like calling Barcelona, Barthelona.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Right. Manu Chao, I think, says, I don't know what he says.
Hey, stop with the... Stop it! You know, I mean, you know, I'm tired of it.
Johnny Hecker, what the heck? And we love Johnny.
We do.
We support Johnny. Johnny is not only in the conversation as the best punter, as at least he's in the conversation as the best punter in the NFL. And I think most would probably say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take Hecker.
Best throwing punter in the NFL.
Certainly. Got like 9 touchdowns.
Former quarterback at Bothell.
But if you missed it, Hecker's tweet 9 hours ago, P, and I'm showing it to you just in case you missed it, said,
I don't miss things, Matt. I'm a sports person.
Mood.
I'm involved in sports.
And here is...
What did it say?
Mood. No. God. No. No. God.
Yeah,
please,
it's from The
no,
Office. So
no.
He's upset that Wade Phillips got fired, or did they fire Johnny Fossil?
Fossil's gone.
They fired John Fossil?
Fossil is now the special teams coordinator for Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones, and the Dallas Cowboys.
So he got a better job.
His contract was up. And they did not extend him. After 8 years with the Rams, Fossil was hired by Jeff Fisher.
See, this Rams stuff is starting to remind me, you know, how Joe Barry's supposed to be moving on, and we talked a little bit about that.
Mind you a little bit of?
It's starting to remind me of a situation long before the brothel in the dorm was revealed, where Rick Pitino would do something to piss people off at Louisville, and then they'd fire the football coach.
Like, see, I was thinking,
like, please don't. We can't fire or even,
do anything to Rick.
We can't reprimand Sean McVay, so we have to make somebody else fall on the sword. As if there's, you know, USC too. You know, we can't fire Clay Helton, but we can fire all his assistants and make you feel better about
it. Stick with USC, because what I was thinking is, here you've got this super staff, one of the great special teams coordinators. One
supposed
of the great defensive coordinators.
Supposed to be.
And all of a sudden, head coach found success, now feeling himself a little bit, and he don't need no big personalities getting celebrated all around him.
So
he
wants to hire Pete Carroll,
wants to get his guys, younger dudes, gelled up.
Right.
I need to have more control over you because I'm the head coach and I don't have enough control over my special teams or my defense because you guys are vets that have been doing this for 30 years.
Okay.
And I can't get my hand in there.
So what Matt is referring to is the deep jealousy of Pete Carroll. If you ever want to go back and watch the 2005 BCS championship game where USC was destroying Oklahoma, on the sideline, the first question asked was, you know, how about this Norm Chow offense at halftime? The vein in Pete Carroll's head and neck. Norm Chow never coached another game after that one for USC. Pete pushed him out. He pushed out Ed. Well, Ed got a head coaching job. He pushed out Kennedy Poley. He pushed out Tim Davis. You know, he didn't want those guys around him. He wanted Sark, Kiffin, and those guys are still being unjustly promoted just because that's what Pete Carroll wanted. But here's the thing. There was nobody at USC at that time powerful enough, including Mike Garrett or the president, Stephen Sample, to step in Carroll's way and say, no, you know, you...
Who's more powerful than Sean McVay in the Rams organization? Les Snead, the guy that's...
Well, it's pro football.
But you know what I mean? Like,
what I'm saying is, it's pro football. You should be able to handle your 32-year-old head coach.
You should.
You should.
But when he's the Wunderkind, and he's all you got going, and you're coming off a disappointing season, and you got no money to spend, and you've got no first-rounders, and you've handed Jared Goff the most expensive annual salary at the quarterback position, and Todd Gurley the second now because of Ezekiel Elliott, highest running back salary, and you're going to have to make Jalen Ramsey the highest paid corner. All of a sudden.
So you're telling me Kevin Demoff and Les Snead, the two guys that faced down Cuban Missile Crisis style, Aaron Donald's agent, and got that deal done, the same guys that are widely celebrated by the Sam Farmers and the Fred Rogans and the Vinny Bongs and the Lindsay Theories and the Gary Kleins of our society.
You could keep going for days.
You're saying that this guy,
McVay, is the most powerful person in the Rams organization. I would imagine if you sodium pentothaled freaking Stan Kroenke and said, who's the most powerful guy in your organization that you trust most? He would say, Sean McVay. Who's out there celebrating
poor
Kevin Demoff, save the local media here, washing him up? But I mean, everybody's asking the same questions nationally about Les Snead. Like, hey, is this guy really doing a good job? Are we okay with this guy? Like, well, are we sure that this is...
Isn't the shine off of Bubba Fett's helmet at this point now?
I don't think so. I mean, if you listen to the talking heads, they say, hey, look, McVay's still out there drawing up damn good game plans. He's got Jared Goff just freaking out and not executing and missing guys those guys are wide open down the field.
Jared Goff's fault.
And Goff is missing guys.
That sounds like a lot of coaches that say, hey, you know, we just didn't execute. What I did was perfect.
He's saying, hey, I'm trying to fall on the sword for you here, Todd Gurley. I'm going to do it. Hey, I'm an idiot. The guy just had the best game he's had in a year and a half because his knees are gone, but I'll take it and I'll say, you know what? You're right. Todd's good. I'm the idiot for not running him more. And what did Todd do? How did Todd repay that favor?
You're an idiot.
Yeah. Basically said, yeah, you're right. You are an idiot.
Thanks a lot. I said that so you defend me, you a-hole. Don't you understand how this works? I'm going to shoot the missiles somewhere where they're not going to hurt anybody. And you say, it's all good.
He has had Fossil. And by the way, it is the era. Not, it really isn't the era. The last, I think, maybe 10 years, it's felt like in the NFL, the special teams coach has gotten a heck of a lot more shine than they had in the past. They're being promoted to head coaches. They're pointing out, hey,
was the guy they used to show? There was one special teams coach they used to show because he was like
Dave Taub.
Was it for the Cowboys? It was somebody back in the day, and he'd call some you know, reverse on the kick, and they'd be like, there he is! And he'd be on the sideline like, yeah!
Have a cigarette and flick it into the cloud. But now Harbaugh, special teams coach.
Yes,
Belichick started special teams coach. Andy Reid.
Matt Rhule was the special teams coordinator. I mean, that's the thing about Matt Rhule. He'd been a tight end coach, special teams coordinator.
O-line with
O-line
the Giants.
Coach, yeah.
So, you know, here's the thing about Fossil. this is a guy that McVay inherited. And look, I think it's fair. If you feel like you've had success, you helped take your team to the Super Bowl, everybody in the world celebrating you as a head coach, maybe those guys, you know, they weren't forced upon you, but you're a 30-year-old that gets hired as a head coach, the youngest ever, and Les Snead and Kevin Demoff are like, hey, we got this guy Fossil. He's been pretty great. Hecker and Zuerlein are damn good players. I know the team sucked under Jeff Fisher, but you probably should keep this guy because you're not going to find someone better.
Well, it's not McVay's staff. I mean, he's 32. Right. He doesn't know anybody just off the breadth of his age. So, I mean, who the hell does McVay know?
That's where I'm going is, okay, so now you're going to fire a guy who has been successful for 30 years as your defensive coordinator, who was able to thwart and befuddle Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl to the tune of 10 points, and your magic offense that you can scheme up all day and all night couldn't get more than 10 points to win a Super Bowl, and he's the guy that gets fired. You better find someone that you can go hang out in freaking Tarzana at the Versailles out there and feel better and more relatable to your staff. That's going to be better than Wade because it's going to be pretty tough. And I guess the word that's leaking out of the Rams camp is they weren't, and by they, I assume this is Sean McVay, just wasn't happy with the inability or the unwillingness for Wade to change his scheme, to adapt week to week to an opponent, be a little more, as they like to call Bill Belichick's defense, amoeba.
Are those the people that are trying to
give McVay a pass here on this one? Like, you know, McVay wants his other coordinators to be more like him.
So they're
him.
Saying, I get it. So, okay, so somebody brought up the word amoeba defense, okay, because younger coordinators are supposedly, quote-unquote, supposed to be able to coach hybrid players better.
I guess a little less rigid in
their scheme. Yes. Linebackers and safeties looking very similar, especially when it comes to blitzing or covering a tight end type of guy. You know, hybrid players, modern stuff, you know, where a quarterback comes up to the line of scrimmage and doesn't really know where the blitz is coming from because it's an amoeba. It's a nebulous. It's constantly moving. Rocky Long's an old guy that we were talking about a little earlier. He's an old defensive guy, and he coaches an amoeba-style defense.
Maybe he'll be the next DC for the Rams.
The thing is, you know, we had this conversation the other day. I think that's BS propaganda. I really do. I just think it's BS that people are – because we've seen this in the past at the college and the pro level. They fire somebody, and then they send rumors about why they fired him.
Well, you know, he really wasn't this or that.
Last time I checked, Sean McVay didn't change his scheme. The Patriots, the Lions, and the Bears figured out, stopped the outside zone.
Yeah, that was it.
Not to get too technical because I don't really know what I'm saying. I just remember hearing
it. Was something
6-1 defense, and you can't run, and now Jared Goff's screwed.
It's something we talked about a lot last year. If you're going to – you know, Todd Gurley running the ball on the edge was their strength.
Did that change this year? Did he adapt to that?
No.
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 Teams just shut it down.
And the other thing was Todd Gurley wasn't the same guy out on the edge. You know, so it was kind of like a teams knew it was coming and Gurley didn't have the same will to do it. So, you know, those two things mixed together with your O-lines a year older and a year different and, you know, people have had a year to look at you scheme-wise. You're the one that looks antiquated, McVay. I mean, I'm glad that Cooper Kupp had a great year, but you're supposed to be a Super Bowl contender.
Help prove the point. If we had had Cooper Kupp in the Super Bowl, you bet your ass we would have won. It didn't seem like he was flexible or willing to, or I shouldn't say willing, wasn't able to change his scheme to win these games. And Jared Goff looked like, well, he didn't look like, he regressed. His quarterback rating was in the 80s. He was mid-pack to bottom third in almost every quarterback category this year after just being handed the richest quarterback contract out there. Meanwhile, special teams, the only guy that's ever coached Johnny Hecker and Greg Zuerlein, who's had 15 special teams players of the week.
That's kind of
8 Pro Bowlers in his time with the Rams, not his career, his time with the Rams.
That's hard to accept.
Yeah.
Just as a person just listening to this, you know, I don't know. I knew John Fossil or Jim
his
Fossil.
Dad.
Yeah, I know Jim Fossil a little bit, but I don't know John Fossil. I mean, I know him from watching games, and we know Johnny Hecker a little bit, but when a head coach sees other guys on his staff as a threat, and, you know, that's a lot of the reason Clay Helton doesn't want a lot of strong coaches around him, just to give an example of something going on with USC right now. If it's going on with the Rams right now, I mean, I get it. if that guy's Wade Phillips and everybody respects him 1,000 times more than you because he's twice your age and he's seen more football than you'll ever see, and he's Bun Phillips' son and he knows Earl Campbell.
He's a good dude.
I get that. But the special teams coordinator, for God's sakes, I mean, that guy's not going to take your job. He looks like a nerd. He's not going to take your job. Why does that guy have to be fired?
And look, maybe he just said, I'm done. I don't know. I don't know if Fossil. All I know is they did not renew his deal. He was up, and the Cowboys came and plucked him.
Well, that's a lot of what happened with your Kennedy Polamalus and Norm Chow's of the world. You know, Pete Carroll didn't lift a finger to keep him.
Right.
He put the, without even firing the guys, he put the writing on the wall that, you know, it's about Kiffin. It's, remember, he said, well, we're going to give the play calling to Kiffin or Sark. It's like, why? You've never won a title. And I heard somebody on the radio today give Kiffin and Sark all the offensive credit for USC under Pete Carroll. USC never won a title with Lane Kiffin or Sark calling the plays. They won two under Pete Carroll with Norm Chow calling the plays. And he didn't say, like, oh, Norm, you know, you're fired. But he made it very clear that he didn't want him. And that might be the case here.
It will be an interesting watch. What defensive, like you said, he's a young guy who is at one place, the Washington Redskins. And really, I keep saying it, it's not Sean McVay's coaching tree. It's Kyle Shanahan's coaching tree.
Which is Mike Shanahan's coaching tree.
He was part of that. And all these young
guys. And
the
Grudens and all them are in there.
Exactly. All these young guys weren't cultivated, weren't mentored by McVay. They were all mentored by Kyle Shanahan and his dad, Mike, in Washington. He doesn't have a lot of relationships. Now, maybe he's made them. He seems very likable. Seems he's always got his practices open to other coaches that stop by and chat him up about what he's doing and what he sees. He's very open like that. But when you've got two guys that are as respected as they were, Phillips and Fossil, and you just want to get your... He said he wants to be more involved, and he wasn't able to be as involved as he wanted to be as a head coach in those two facets of the team, two of the big three. I mean, offense, defense, special teams. So... all right, it's what you want. Now you got to go figure out in a division with your mentor, Kyle Shanahan, and the 49ers, the number one seed in the NFC, with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, who've been to two Super Bowls and are back in the Final Four for the NFC again at Seattle. And now someone who seems to be pretty savvy in terms of offense and what he was able to do over the course of the year when he got settled in Arizona, and Kyler Murray and the Cardinals at 3,500 passing yards, 500 rushing yards, some great wins, including one up in Seattle that knocked him out of first place. You better bring some freaking defense in this division, and it better be a damn good hire, because you just let go one of the dudes that's as good as there's ever been coordinating that side of the ball.
Haven't heard anything about any defensive people that McVay knows. I know he had lunch once with Cliff Kingsbury, and that's why he got that Arizona job.
There you go.
Who does he know?
We're going to find out.
Who's the D coordinator at DC when they barely made the playoffs that one year?
Ted Cottrell.
Matt, that Cowboys OC or special teams coordinator that we used to talk about all the time because John Madden would always talk about him. Joe Avezzano.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-90s. Remember that? And Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher
for the Browns.
Exactly.
Yeah, running up and down with that big chin. Go with God. Vaya con Dios, John Fossil. And hey, watch that hubris, McVay. We're on you like we were on Carroll. We've seen this game before.
Sports, your home for the NFL. Remember, we got the doubleheader Saturday and Sunday brought to you by Bosley. You can text FINAL to 85850 for a free information kit from America's number one hair restoration experts. Saturday, Vikings Niners, 1:30. Titans Ravens, 5 p.m. Sunday, Texans Chiefs get it started at noon, followed by Seahawks and Packers. And we have got 4-hour shows, P, until Friday when the Clippers finally get back in action as they'll host the Golden State Warriors.
And joining us right now, former Clipper, NBA journeyman, UCLA Bruin, and becoming a real hot take artist at a John Muir High School. Let's go, Mustangs! It is the one and only Ryan Hollins on the Petros and Money Show on AM 570 LA Sports on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. You could hear Hollins all over the place.
All over.
These days. I mean, I don't, every time I turn on the TV, he's got like, he's the only guy with like a contract on every sports network. Is that still the case, Hollins? Are you still a freelance OG like that?
I am still freelancing, brother. What's going on, man?
No, it's good. But, you know, I mean, how much have you enjoyed kind of, because I've not, we've been doing this for a while, and I don't remember a guy coming in so fast and furious and you know, with big haymakers and talking, you know. I can't remember a guy since, I don't know. I mean, that just came in and really geeked it up. You've really taken to this. Would you agree with that?
You know what amazes me, P? I think the one thing that I do that I don't know, maybe I'm a little taken back. Everybody's blown away. I just tell you what we ultimately say in the locker room. I just let you know the conversations that happen behind closed doors, and apparently it's a little too hot for TV sometimes, but okay. I really don't go out and pride myself that I'm going to say anything different. I mean, these are just honest conversations. I mean, sometimes people don't like the truth.
So what are
I like the truth.
What are the locker room conversations, not in the Laker locker room, but in, let's say, former LeBron James teammate locker rooms about the Kuzma deal?
Listen, ultimately, I don't think it happens, but I like, and I don't mind, because they'd have to see a deal that they really like. You got to understand, Kuzma's contract, ultimately, right now, it's cheap labor. You get a lot of bang for your buck. He's on a rookie deal, and he's a guy who can go out and get you 20 or so points, and he fits the new NBA. He's tall. He shoots three. He does everything. But what he said, what he concurred with, as we talk about LeBron James, and what did my man say that his trainer said that he didn't want to play against Kawhi, whatever it may have been, it's just dead wrong. And the Lakers have a chance to win a championship. And it, let me tell you, in any other circumstance, Kyle Kuzma would be wearing a new jersey. And if there's a deal that comes across that makes sense, he'd be gone.
Well, what about
that deal exists.
Ryan, wouldn't you agree? I mean, Bogdanovich is a much better player than Kuzma, all-around player, championship-caliber player. I know, you know, the money-wise, you got to pay him $9 million instead of $1.5 million, but if they're looking to win a championship, like, to me, that looks like a no-brainer if they're willing to do it, right?
One, I would question how toxic the relationship has been, and it looks like Kuzma had reeled back on what he said about LeBron. He posted some posts the next day talking about how great he is. But ultimately, the NBA is one. If it's not a guy like a Steph Curry, a Kyrie Irving, you need to stack as many guys from 6'7 to 6'8 or 6'9 that can guard multiple positions as possible. The great thing for Kyle Kuzma is he fits in that mold right now. But I'm going to tell you one darn thing. LeBron James is as petty as they come, and I don't say that in a bad thing. I say it in a way, he's like an elephant. He does not forget, and he has not forgotten what Kyle Kuzma has said, and we're seeing some of the repercussions. It's just bad business, and that's my gripe, guys, when we talk about losing basketball. When we talk about tanking and tanking and taking and then deciding to go and win, Kyle Kuzma had felt like he's been the king of L.A. for a long time. He just got put back in his place because he stepped way over that line.
Can they reel him back in, or do you think they have to get rid of him? Because, I mean, if you know that, right, and you're telling us that, the NBA knows that, the Lakers lose trade leverage on trying to trade Demolition Man.
Yeah, I think they can reel him back in. I don't think the damage is done. And just like I said, his value doesn't outweigh how big or demonstrative in action was. And like I said with LeBron James, LeBron is petty. He has not and will not forget what Kuzma said. And it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but he's going to find a way. Kuzma may be looking for a Team USA invite or something. And LeBron is just kind of, well, Kuzma, you weren't invited. You're one of the top five players in the world, but you're not invited. You know, so we don't know exactly how it's going to play out. I don't think he's moved unless honestly, the Kings just really sweeten that deal all the way up. And I don't know necessarily Bogdanovich is it. I know the Lakers are in play. They're looking at a Darren Collison. I know the Clippers are. I know they want another creator. There's a lot of shooters around LeBron. There's a lot of defenders, but they don't have a guy like a Bogdanović or a Collison who can go out and create his own shot. So that's the dilemma that the Lakers fall in right now.
Which one, you lead to the perfect question then, Ryan. Which one of those two teams do you think is more desperate to get that done? Because it certainly seems like they're going to be chasing the same guys, trying to convince Darren Collison to unretire and trying to convince Memphis to buy out Andre Iguodala and come join them. Which team is in more need of one or both of those pieces?
I'm going to put a capital D on this. The Lakers are desperate to get this done. They're not better than the Clippers. They would have the fear of God of playing the Clippers in a second round if somehow the seeding works out as such. It's a poor matchup. The Lakers need guys who can go out and create their own shot. LeBron James still needs help. It's a heck of a roster. But you know what? The Clippers play pound for pound with everything that the Lakers do. So right now, they got to get it done. They have to go out and make plays. The Clippers have three guys who can close games. When I say close games, they can hit a shot off the bounce and have the fortitude to stand in there and make shots. I don't know if the Lakers have one. I mean, depending on which LeBron James shows up, they're really struggling to get shots. LeBron has the ability, guys. Don't get me wrong. I think he's the greatest player we've ever seen play the game of basketball, but they are struggling to get shots in those big games against the teams that have the talent to match up. The Clippers, Milwaukee, I'm intrigued with how they match up with Philadelphia and those type of teams. They are struggling, so you need a Bogdanović. You need a Collison, not necessarily that he's LeBron James, but a guy who can go out and get his own shot. It's a real problem, guys.
At the Ryan Hollins on Twitter, you can check him out, and he knows what's a real problem and what isn't. Did you have a problem with KCP getting bonked in the head last night by Portis and all the apologies that go around, or the way AD went down?
No, I think that Bobby Portis, for one, his reputation preceded him right there, and he put hands on one of his teammates. And for those who don't know, put hands means he had a physical altercation with one of his teammates, and he has a stigma of kind of being a bad guy. But it was a good hard foul, Pete. I don't buy anything extra. And Anthony Davis, it's an Anthony Davis knickknack, man. He's gonna fall on his tailbone. He's gonna miss games. Things like that are gonna happen. Could he play tomorrow? Yeah, I've fallen on my tailbone before, and it hurts like heck. But you can play, and it's not too big of a deal to worry about. But it's care. We expected this of Anthony Davis. Okay, so it is a deal that's gonna be sore for the next week to week and a half on him.
Have you seen enough from the Clippers? Obviously a weird one where they just got blown out by the Grizzlies. Harrell was pissed off. Seemed like the players were pissed about their effort. Have you seen enough to believe that they'll get this thing kind of sorted out and dialed in by the time the playoffs come around? Or how far away? Because you think about that first year in Miami, right? And the Heat was trying to figure that out, and they didn't win the championship that year. Or do you think they still have quite a ways to go?
I don't think they have quite a ways to go. If we didn't learn anything from Christmas Day, is that the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard? Well, let's just say Kawhi Leonard. He can turn it on whenever he wants to. And he's a guy who, honestly, if we want to be truthful, Kawhi Leonard's the only unguardable player in the NBA right now. There's no Steph Curry. There's no Durant. Kyrie Irving's got leadership issues. This is the only unguardable player in the NBA right now. And everything around the Clippers falls in place. Not to mention they have a level of chemistry in coaching, which they had developed last year, that can win out. This is a team, dude, guys, heck, take Kawhi Leonard off. That's a team that can go and challenge for a championship. Maybe they don't win it, but they can challenge for one. So I still believe they are head and shoulders above the Lakers, above Milwaukee, and above the rest of the NBA if you have to put the money on the line.
What do you think about Kawhi as an all-star? Are you all right with that? I mean, if you're a guy out there busting your ass almost every game for the first half of a season, maybe you got a bonus tied to it, and here's a guy who's missed a quarter of the games.
I don't mind making an exception for the best player in the world. If this is anybody else, a first-year guy, a second-year guy, he's a reigning MVP, he's a champ, and I don't mind making that sacrifice. Anybody else, guys, we have a problem. Kawhi, not so much.
How much do guys care? I mean, I just think back to last year when Gobert didn't make it and he was crying and Draymond's clowning him for crying for not making the All-Star team. Is that Is that more common or less common when it comes to making the All-Star team if you feel like you deserve it?
You hear about it now. I remember playing alongside guys like Kevin Love, DeMarcus Cousins, kind of those almost tier All-Stars at the time, and it was a real thing. It ate up DeMarcus just about every day. He knew he was the best center in the league, and he wasn't getting an opportunity to make an All-Star game. For a guy that's on the cusp, we remember Damian Lillard was in those shoes for a while because the West was just stacked with point guards, and he didn't make it. It eats at guys. But the public crying and the, you know, the falling out, everything, that's new stuff, man. That's the age of public entitlement and social media that we see coming into play right there.
The great Ryan Hollins, before we let him go, we have to ask you, Ryan, your thoughts, just some early returns on the Mick Cronin era. I know he's got a lot of work to do at UCLA. Good win against Washington. Nobody likes to lose to Fullerton if you're a Bruin. What are your thoughts just watching this team early as Mick Cronin tries to carve out some competition here?
I got to be honest, brother. I'm a Mick Cronin fan. He's brought a toughness back to UCLA that we hadn't had since, you know, Coach Hallen was there. And we obviously know the off-the-court incidences and things that kind of went on with Coach Hallen of guys not liking him or not necessarily getting along with the way Coach handled himself. But I believe Cronin is going to turn things around. The reality is at UCLA, we have a group of very, very talented kids. But the one thing we don't have is a guy. We don't have a guy that's just a clear-cut professional at this time. We have a lot of potential. We have a lot of good kids, but you don't just have a guy on the team. I love what Cronin is doing. Great guy. Great move.
How long do you think it takes, Ryan?
Man, you're one kid away. The one thing, and my big thing is guard play. We get the right guard play in, a guy who can create his own shot and create for others, and you win in basketball, in college basketball, like immediately. Now, the problem is, guys, and you know this, they don't stay around too long. So the reality is we're really, really close, but you're a guy away. And look out for this kid, Sky Clark. If we get him to commit, that could be – I could get the Bruins back on top. So check out Sky Clark if you have a chance.
There we go. Little intel.
Yeah, Sky Clark. How about that? UCLA USC on Saturday. You might see Ryan Hollins there looking sweet and some gear. We'll be back with more PMS. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Ryan. Have a wonderful day. There he goes, the great Ryan Hollins on the Petros and Money Show with some hoops talk. We'll be right back with a secret Textoso Rodeo Roundup.
Metro Sun Money AM 570 LA Sports. Remember, keep listening. Tomorrow, we had already played the keyword. Now, there was a chance that you could still get that call from a block number before the top of the hour, and it could be $1,000, a grand in your hand. We do it every day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You get the keyword quarter after or somewhere near quarter after, and before the top of the hour, if you are selected to win the $1,000 after texting that keyword to 200-200, you will get a call from a number that is either blocked or you don't recognize.
We had a winner.
Cleared it. Got the call. It's like, I don't know.
They called back. Number,
and they called
back.
They
did their due diligence. Like when you go work out Antonio Brown, you're doing your due diligence.
Exactly right. Till he posted on Instagram and you're like, you fool, get out. And then he calls you a fool and going for a press
grab. But you
grab.
Were just doing your due diligence.
Due diligence.
That's the point.
That's the point. Don't clear the call. Paul was very fortunate they called back. Answer your phone. You could win $1,000. It'll start again tomorrow at 6 a.m. with the Dan Patrick Show.
And also, podcast this show. You can do so on am570lasports.com/PMS or the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone or any other way that you get podcasts. If you're having trouble, resubscribe and stop being annoying.
Exactly right,
Speaking
man.
Speaking of annoying people, brought to you by Chevrolet. Text us a
line. Sold out to Chevy.
And your Chevrolet dealers, the secret Textoso line. Matt, yesterday or 2 days ago, you brought up Costco delivery and how you're trying to figure it all out and wading your way into the somewhat current-laden waters of the Costco
delivery
world. Tell Matt to be careful with Costco delivery. Baby formula, $100 online. $85 in the store.
Oh.
Now, Matt might wear that $15. You know, that's a 15-minute drive.
Could save me whatever else I'm going to purchase that I don't, you know, seven vats of red vines for $40.
Exactly.
You know, that's, so maybe you're actually saving money by paying the 15 more.
Why'd you get seven? I only wanted five.
I had to take the extra two.
Matt, you just mentioned, I'm glad, the grand in your hand, and our listener yesterday that well, he won 2 days ago, but we celebrated yesterday. Was that Paul from Baldwin Park? Yeah. We really, really appreciate having a winner because it helps us and our overall standing here in the Pinnacle Building in Burbank, I feel like.
The folks in corporate go, well, I'm sorry, who? What's that?
No, it was like a pep rally when we walked into work today. Oh. I mean, they were clapping. They had the halls lined with cheerleaders. They were clapping.
It's like cannons. When the Stanley Cup came to the studio. Right. Remember that?
Yeah, it was a big moment.
Clear the way.
Get out of the way.
Clear the way.
I mean, it was a big
everybody,
deal.
Let me get mine first.
But we did get a grand in your hand this week, and here you go. Having so many grand in your hand winners only confirms that we are truly a great sports talk fan base.
Great sports talk.
Of prize hookers. P, you interview James during the week. A lot of pressure to make sure you don't confuse Worthy and Bergener. What if you F?
That's true.
Yeah, man. I messed up today.
Happened.
Yeah, very tough.
Big game, sweet. Both James. Not a lot of guys going by James.
No.
Probably more grown men going by Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Than James.
Yeah.
James
Earl Jones.
I mean, Jim is probably number one.
James Earl Jones, though, putting it down.
Sure.
Holtzauer. Yeah, Holtzauer tonight. Man, Can't wait for that update tomorrow. Man. Solve some of those questions. Maybe some of those rhymes. Triple rhyme time. Tell Magdaleno to suck it. Is he going to fight the Iranians when he gets selected in the draft?
Yeah.
Magdaleno?
Or are you going to get bone spurs, man?
Or are you going to go, Iran so far away.
Yeah, that's what you're
going to
do.
I'm too old, fool. You know we can't go.
Yeah. What about Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan? He was old as hell, and he still wore
it. Why don't you volunteer, man?
I will, yeah.
Yeah. I will, yeah.
I'll do it right now.
I'll do it right now.
Would you also agree that PMS
give me
is...
Give Tommy Lahren.
All right, enough with Tommy Lahren. She's not going to war with you.
No, but as a prize.
You don't get a prize?
That's not how it works.
This isn't radical
Islam. I'm just
trying
to be like them, yeah.
You don't get anything in heaven.
99
like who? Would you agree
that... Lisa Marie Booth.
Would you stop? Would you agree that PMS is the beer in the shower show of record? You know, I've never thought about it. To be honest,
my daughter, not to make this weird, was drinking a vitamin water in the shower the other day. And I was like, what the hell are you doing?
Water going to get in there.
It's like, who does that?
I mean, didn't you just do your hydrating outside the shower? I mean, right? How long do you need to be in the shower?
Exactly. Now, I think the idea of a beer in the shower
or dehydrating
is less about.
Well, it's very much a Jim Morrison. I woke up this morning
exactly.
And I got myself a beer. The future's uncertain. The end is always near.
You just want to tell your friends, hey, I had a beer in the shower.
Maybe if you're listening to God Bless the USA and you're like, let me grab a beer.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. We are not the beer in the shower show of record.
We are not.
We are not the beer
in
the
America
show
of record.
We
That's
are.
What we are.
You're right about that. We
Until
are.
Until Monday when Ronnie's back then.
Then what are we? The not America show of record?
Bitch made Tommy. Show of record. P, I've had a boring week at
Hi,
work.
I'm a good American.
I'm laughing my ass off hearing and then watching that Aussie wear it in the putzo. Oh, no! We got an Australian guy at a cricket match for an Australian news that Kate's found where this guy wears it in the poots for the third time in a match, a cricket match in Australia.
I mean hard.
And you could hear him yell, oh, no, as he's going down. And then the subsequent commentary is gold.
That, unfortunately, is the third time this evening.
Third.
And that's not us laughing,
One more
by
time
the way.
With the oh no.
We will not laugh. Listen to the laughter from the two male
it's
analysts.
It's the oh no that's killing
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
That, unfortunately, is the third time this evening.
Unfortunately.
Oh, commentary. Pardon our commentary.
We'll be right back.
Oh, no, commentary.
We got quick hits. We're going to celebrate Matt Rhule.
You tell me I'm dragging my heels.